Welcome to the Above Average Driven Millennials podcast series, where entrepreneurs, celebrities, and athletes talk about their journey, from starting and all the shit they had to go through to get where they are today. Please spread the love. Write us a review. We want to help as many entrepreneurs and people as we can with advice from industry experts. Now, here's your host, president and founder of Adapting Social, John A. Vaguero.
What is up, everybody? Today is an awesome day. We have our girl here, an entrepreneur, Laura D'Amelio. She's about to get it, talk about her business, what she does in the makeup industry, in the film industry, and you know how she built a raving fan culture. So any of the women, or anybody who owns a business, you know, that's looking to take what they're doing to the next level, there's a lot of value add that we're going to have here. So I'm really excited, because not only her fiance Sal is a dear friend and a client, and became a client first, but they're both dear friends to us now, and so we're really excited to have you guys on. So thank you, Laura, for being here.
Thank you. We're super excited to be on this today.
Yes, and of course Nick, our podcast director.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
So Nick, let's set the stage real quick, right? So I guess ask her the dive into your thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first question that we've been thinking about that would really make a huge difference in a lot of people's lives, especially for someone who's a little bit younger like I am, what advice would you give to a young entrepreneur looking to start their own business in cosmetology?
So never give up. I think it's education is super, super important, and I still educate myself. I just went to a class in the city on Sunday, and I think that education is key, and going to really, in any career, just educate yourself and figure out every part of the industry that you're in. And I think that really will help you grow as a person in your field. Also, just like being super positive and helping others and just being a good person all around has just like helped me in my career.
I love that you started with never give up.
Yeah.
One of my mentors, this gentleman, Richard Minervino, he was like one of the first people to start telecommunications. I told you briefly about that opportunity with that stuff. But that's one thing he always gives me as advice. He's like, whatever you do, just never, ever, ever. And he does like 10 times, give up. but that being said, before, let's set the stage. Like, so who are you, first off? And talk about your business, talk about what you do, because I want people to really understand, you know, how badass you actually are.
Awesome. Yeah, don't be so humble.
Exactly. She's too humble.
I think
people.
That actually is part of, like, why I am successful is because I am super humble about everything, and I don't think that I am where I want to be, and I don't think I'm ever going to feel like I am where I want to be. But I'm Laura D'Amelio. I own D'Amelio Cosmetics, which is currently a freelance makeup team and hairstylist. We basically cover mainly bridal, but I also have worked in film, and I've grown over the past 12 years, and I am booked for over 2 years at this point, so it's great. I kind of have my life planned for 2 years, no weekends.
She's booked for 2 years, and anybody in business, that's essentially like having clients for 2 years straight. Let's go! That's so badass. Oh my god. Let's not underestimate that right there. Like that's like saying for like Adapting Social, like, yo, we're stacked, we can't take clients for 2 years. Like,
that's insane.
Hello? That's like, come on, that's fucking badass.
Wait, set the record straight. Your team is still taking
my
clients.
My team takes yes, the remainder. Yes. Yeah.
Whoever okay, good. Can. So you personally.
Right. Me personally, I only book out until then. I won't continue booking myself
right.
until next year. So that's when the next year will open up. So yes, everyone, the overflow or whoever I can't accommodate, I
right.
do actually send to my clients or to my
team. Right.
Yep,
okay, that's a great point, because for people listening,
we're shutting down business right now. We got money to pay for this year.
Exactly. So that's huge. And that's awesome. So one thing too on that point, it's like I just want people to understand, like as a business owner, like that is always wanting to chase success. Like I think all of us in this room can testify to, like, I don't think we'll ever be content, right? We always want to keep growing. So but the fact that you specifically are completely booked out for 2 years, like that's awesome. And for people listening in, like the journey, like that's what we want to dive into. Like, what is the journey? Like, how did you get to this point?
So I think that I've always like made it a point to make my clients happy. I think a lot of people in the industry or in any industry, I don't want everyone just to think of this, oh, she's a makeup artist, and kind of brush it aside. it really is in any industry. You kind of want to make your clients as happy as possible. So sometimes I work on clients that I don't love what they want, but I'm giving them what they want. And I listen to what they need. I use my professional opinion, but I still make sure they're extremely happy.
Right.
And I think that is a huge, huge thing in success is to, because if I'm doing things that only make me happy and only what I like, it's not appealing to the client, and then they're not going to recommend you. So getting recommended and the referrals and social media at this point, like, is just so huge.
Right. Oh, it's massive.
Super, super huge.
It's massive. Like, and, but, so my main question, though, is, like, so, first of all, why makeup?
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, how in the F are you 2 years booked out now? Like, how do we get to this point,
yeah,
right?
Like,
so, like, for example, like, in my world, like, I went, again, door to door to door to door in my business at Brick. And then eventually somebody gave me a shot,
right.
And then I started to market, and then boom, here we are today because of all that stuff.
What do you think was your tipping point?
Like, exactly. Like, what was the tipping point?
So why I got into makeup, I actually moved from a super urban neighborhood to a super preppy neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an afro and a big butt, and I always have since I was super young. So, like, it just wasn't, like, the Abercrombie and Fitch type of vibe that everyone else wanted. And I'm super dyslexic on top of it all. Like,
mm-hmm.
cannot still have, like, a very hard time reading in general,
mm-hmm.
but I do have an assistant that does all my emails. but so I moved to a town where I really didn't fit in. I really didn't have any friends, so I started playing with my mother's makeup, and it made me feel good. I was in seventh grade. I was young. So I actually started doing everyone's makeup. By eighth grade, I was starting to make friends. High school, I was like, Ma, I need to go, and I need to do makeup. I need to do hair. I want to do this. So I actually wrote a letter to get into a VOTech, which is a vocational school. So I actually didn't pay anything for my cosmetology license.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
High school.
Smart.
So, yep. I actually
Smart.
Had my cosmetology license by the time I graduated high school.
Mm.
This way I was able to go to college. I worked at a salon and at Mac and went to college and interned all at the same time. I wasn't sleeping.
Oh, wow.
My
gosh.
Yeah. So,
and where did you go to college?
I went to Berkeley.
Okay.
In Paramus. New Jersey.
Got it.
And I went for
it.
Business and interior design.
Right.
So I was still in my field of being artsy, crafty. I paid, I don't know if I should say this, but I paid a lot of people to read my papers.
Right. That's fine. Listen, that's part of an entrepreneur is delegating.
Right. Exactly.
I feel like that kind of like plays into the whole like business management
for
thing.
Sure.
Yes. Like, I'll just have you do this.
Yes.
And then I'll get the reward from it. So,
that
so kids, listen up.
Work.
Don't do your homework.
Listen.
School's a sham anyway.
Yeah.
But, so, but what was that tipping point for you?
So
like when did you like know like in your mind that like, wow, I'm really gonna be good at this?
So my very first client actually when I was 15 working in my first salon, once I started cosmetology school, I was allowed to work in salons. So I was 15 and I did my first client and she started crying when I was done and I was like, oh, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not working here anymore.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, my God, she hates it. In my head, I'm, like, putting myself down. All of a sudden, she's like, I've never looked so beautiful in my life. This makes me feel so good.
Right.
I just lost 100 pounds. She just kept going on this, like, life story of
right.
hers. And you don't know how people's lives are, and you just kind of judge someone from the first minute that you see them,
mm-hmm.
not knowing what maybe they're going through. And in this career, it really is so emotionally invested.
Mm.
You're going through this roller coaster with your client, and it's just after that, like, feeling of, oh, my God, like, I made her so happy that this woman actually cried. It just made me want to do it forever. So that's,
wow.
Yeah, that's really the
Damn, that's
point.
that's a huge moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just, like, picturing that, like, wow, like, because that right there is what, I guess, that's a huge part of your drive then.
Right. 100%.
You know, like, that moment, it was like, wow, you're actually impacting people's lives.
Right. That's, I think, what drives me so much is making people happy.
Right.
I think that's one of the most important things.
That's
clearly
awesome.
It's great money too. So.
Yeah. The ka-ching helps. That's awesome. And
it's, like,
so yeah.
it's a win-win, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. And honestly, the fact that you were there for such an important moment for her, she'll probably remember you forever, honestly. It's like a special moment for you and her too.
Yeah.
So that's truly incredible.
That is cool. I like your question you have here, number two.
Yeah, for sure. So as a lot of people say, inner beauty is as important as outer beauty, and I was just kind of wondering what that take was for you.
I 100% I agree fully. Again, I was a tomboy and dyslexic and didn't fit in, so like the inner beauty really had to shine at that. But I think that it's very, very, very important to be kind to others. Always understand, again, that you don't know where this person mm-hmm. is coming from. And just to make everyone feel as good as possible, I think inner beauty is super important. But outer beauty, you need to really take into consideration in the makeup world that everyone sees beauty differently. And it really is beauty's in the eye of the beholder, as corny as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to make sure that you're making everyone as happy as they want to be and
right.
as pretty as they want to be.
Right.
I believe symmetry in this industry is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone perceives beauty as things that are symmetrical. In art, in house, architect, anything like that. Beauty is symmetry, so as long as you're making these people symmetrical, they're pretty much happy.
Right, right. And I've seen some wicked crazy before and afters, yo. Like, on some real stuff. Like, you do some great stuff, and anybody, again, who's listening in, like, I highly suggest you check out her Instagram and look at the before and afters. I mean, everybody, listen, I truly believe what you said, like, in terms of, like, everybody has their own beauty. Like, if I look at somebody and they're not my taste, that doesn't mean that they're not attractive. That means that to my style, they're not attractive. And vice versa. But the cool part is you can tell when you say it before and you say it after, like, every girl looks so happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the cool part. You know, like, you got them to where they want to be. And that's badass.
Yeah, I love that. And another thing, too, that I was thinking about, you really tied into, like, how it's all beauty, like, in the eye of the beholder. And that kind of ties into, like, art. Because I always say, like, art is subjective. So how someone could walk into a museum and see one painting and be like, this is amazing. And then another person would walk in and be like, why did someone splatter paint on that canvas?
Right.
And just
exactly.
like, what is this?
That's what I mean.
Very
like, what
subjective.
Is it?
Yeah. And it,
yeah. This is $10,000.
Let's just run past the loop.
Exactly.
Sometimes, there's been times where I went to the MoMA like a couple months ago and I was walking through and I saw a bunch of paintings of like, cans and like trash and like there's like some wires and stuff in the painting and I was just like, what is this? But then as I walked away, some other guy came up and snapped a picture of it and was like, I can't believe I'm looking at this right now. And I was like, yeah, neither can I, let's go. So it was just,
yeah, it's
badass. Like, it's amazing. It really shows that like what you do is art, and every artist has an inspiration. So what would you say when you're working with a client truly inspires you? Because it definitely goes beyond your vision and their vision.
Right. So a lot of, again, I feel like I work with clients on one of the most important days of their life is their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very important to make them feel and look, like feel and look
right.
the best that they possibly can. And I think that's what drives me, is that I just know that they're going to have these photos for the rest of their lives. I'm like, oh, my God, this has to look so good. And I literally will just keep going until it's to the point where I am super satisfied with what the outcome is. I'm very invested in my clients, and I make sure that I am giving them the best that they can possibly have on their big day.
Yeah, I love that.
And,
so,
and one thing, I have a question, though. So talk to me about, so how did your social media freaking blow up?
Honestly, so I also, what at one point, I was doing makeup, but I was also a fitness competitor.
Mm.
And fitness people are very, very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge community. So that, I think, is where my first, like, 6,000 to 8,000 followers really start it.
Right.
My ratio on social media is really a 70-30 split, mainly women, which is awesome. And I think that's why I appeal to mainly women
right.
in the beauty industry. And I think that's why my following is so supportive, because if it was men just looking for, like, ass shots or, like,
mm-hmm.
I can say that.
Yeah. Yeah. We curse all of another thing.
It would be different. I don't think I would be getting the same reactions or the same...
Right.
I wouldn't be getting the clientele out of it either.
Mm-hmm.
I would just be getting creepy men commenting like, oh, you're so freaking hot.
Right, right.
So I think that is a huge thing. But then once I kind of got out of... So I got into a car accident after competing for a year. I was actually about... I could have went and a few of the girls that I was competing with are IFBB pros, and I was placing above them in some of the competitions, most
wow.
of the competitions. So I think that's where the following started, but then I kind of took that car accident and, oh my God, I can't work out, I'm not allowed to lift, I'm not allowed to even run,
mm-hmm.
I'm only allowed to walk uphill on a treadmill for 10 minutes a day.
Right.
So that took my whole mindset. And at the time, I was still working at Max, still working at a salon, and competing and doing all of that. But I just completely switched it and was like, all right, focus, get into the business, stop working for other people. Mm-hmm. That's when I kind of cut out Mac. That's when I cut out working at two salons at the time. Cut them out, and I just said, you know what? Social media started picking up at that time about 5 years ago mm-hmm. is really when it kind of started blowing up.
Right.
And I was like, you just have to start posting and taking videos and posting constantly and hashtagging and tagging where you want your followers to come from.
Right.
So with me, with the wedding industry, I'll hashtag a venue that I want to go to more. Because when you're looking at stuff for anything, you go to that hashtag.
Right.
If you're looking for at a venue, oh, what's it look like inside? You go to that hashtag.
Right.
If you go to New York City and you want to see what's to do around there, you mm-hmm. hashtag New York City. Mm-hmm. So I think that's such a good way of getting your following where you want them from.
Right.
You control it.
Right. And Jacqueline and I found a contractor on a hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we found our contractor. Gosh. Yeah. For our house, for the renovations we did. She did it. She was like going through hashtags.
That's mm-hmm. how I found the photographer that shot our engagement.
That's awesome. Oh see how crazy it
is? So it's like searching wedding photography and then they
well, came like, and hashtag, Napa yeah. Valley photographer, you know?
Damn.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, man. It works. And actually, just I'm just going to chime in real quick because I've been thinking this when you were talking about yeah. it. And I think a big part of why Lauren is so good on social media. And I think a lot of people struggle with this, and even myself included, I try to do this more. But when she posts, it's not just a nice picture of makeup. She actually adds value to the people that are looking at it. So they're able to see exactly what makeup she's used. They're able to watch some clips of videos of her blending certain things. And so they're not just looking at a pretty face and nice makeup. They're actually right. learning from the post.
It's strategic.
Which is why people want to follow her and wait for the next post that comes out.
Right.
You know, anyone can just post a nice photo, but those are a dime a dozen on Instagram, right. you know. She actually adds value, which I think is super important.
Yeah.
That's massive.
And I think that kind That's of ties massive. Into why you have so many women following you as opposed to men. Because, yeah, like you said, everyone likes looking at a nice ass shot. But when you see actual, like, value added and motivation and you are teaching people, it becomes more of a platform for education rather than anything else. And you're showcasing your brand, your authenticity, and I guarantee your followers probably feel like they actually know you as a person,
right.
As opposed that's to huge. Just a face behind the platform. And that's what really sets people apart on social media. Like, authenticity is so huge, especially for our generation. Like, we're all millennials. We can spot a fake image from a real image.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not photo.
Always put yeah. up a video. Always put up a video.
Right.
Because that way they know, like, oh, you didn't go in and face-tune. Again, I'm super bad with anything technology-driven. So even if I tried to do that kind of stuff, and I think that's why a lot of my followers think it's so genuine. Also, I wanted to say, what were you just saying about... I just lost it.
Like, educating.
Educating. Educating is so super important because people, they don't want to just see, oh, that's a pretty bride. They want right. to know what I used to make that a pretty bride.
Mm-hmm.
Why, what can I get from you? Right. They don't want to know me.
Yeah.
And they do know me, which is crazy. Like, almost every client that sits in my chair, they're like, oh my God, you got engaged 2 months ago and, like, you got a house and the renovations and Sal. And I'm like, oh my God. Wait, hi, I'm Lauren. But it is social media. You portray what you want, but I do portray my life, which is nice too.
Right.
And education is so important. And you are showing. I am showing them what I actually am using.
Right.
I don't make it up. I don't have these sponsors. It'd be nice. Tarte. I'll accept. But I am not paid to post certain products.
Right.
I post what I truly believe in. I also I do classes once a month. Big, not huge, but 20 to 30 people. So it's still intimate and people still are getting the right experience and they're actually learning from it. And I do that once a month about. And those are actually booked out for the next, I believe, 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
But people want to learn. That's what it comes down to. In anything that you have on social media, post something that someone can learn from. Whether it be cooking, whether it be marketing, whether it be real estate, they want to learn. They want to know why or how you got to where you are.
Right, exactly. And it motivates them and inspires them. And that's the one part that I really respect, you know, about your brand, about what you're doing, because you're actually real. I think that's the coolest part. You know, you're real about it. You're not faking stuff. You know, and you're super humble. Like Sal said before, stop being so humble. It's like, that's the cool part. When you don't have to go in a room, and like, again, when you're meeting these people that you don't know, and you don't have to introduce yourself, like, that's badass, right? It's like, there's no introduction needed. So I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. And I think the interesting thing with social media nowadays too, so many people can create that fake image of who they are and what they do. And the fact that you keep it so real is what genuinely sets you apart.
And what's your thought on that though? What's your feeling on people?
Oh my God, especially, again, in this, in my industry,
yeah,
it's very fake. I actually do believe in that. Fake it till you make it. For people that are just starting out, like, who's never done a bridal before and they want to get into bridal, pop a fake white robe on your client and pretend that she's your bride.
Right.
Fake it till you make it. But don't fake it till you make it to a certain extent, because when you meet these people in person and you're like, who the heck are you? You're not what I saw on social media. You have this little waist and like you look like you're 6 feet tall and it's just like this 5 foot nothing, like round person.
Right.
And you're like, how did this happen? So you just need to, or even like as clients, I've had so many clients say, you know, I wasn't going to come to you because you're a little bit out of my price range, and they'll go waste all this money on artists that honestly, they just edit the hell out of their work.
Right.
So they're spending money on these trials. Maybe they're a quarter of the price. Maybe they're half. Maybe they're just a little bit less.
Right.
But you're trying to save money, and you're going to these artists that aren't as good, but they're really good at Photoshop.
Right.
And then when you're done, you're like, what the heck is this? This isn't what I saw on your page.
Right.
This is the artist that you're paying for, and you really do get what you
pay for.
Mm-hmm. So whenever, just a quick like little business thing from my perspective, I actually always educate, in every class I talk to my class about, hey, what do you want to make per year?
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, most people raise their hand, they're like, $100,000. Okay, mm-hmm. So in order to make $100,000 a year, you need to clear $2,000 a week.
Right.
So when that client's trying to talk you down and say, hey, I want $100 makeup, you know how long it's going to take you to make $100,000.
Right.
So I make them think about it. Mm. There's a lot of people who get into a craft, they don't realize, like, this is your income. This is what you have.
Right.
You're not going to the food store and bargaining with people.
Mm-hmm.
So set a price for yourself. Set a goal every week what you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
Times that by 52.
Mm-hmm.
How many weeks are in a year?
Right.
And that's how much you'll make. And then taxes and your, what you have to spend a month. You
fuck
just
taxes.
taxes.
You just really need to.
This is not self-entry in the podcast.
I made that clear.
He does pay his taxes.
I do.
But yeah, it's just really about like breaking it down, especially if you want to be your own business. You need to get a number and set your goals. Because it's not just about you being good. You need to hit those goals. Because if you don't hit those goals, you might as well be a manager at McDonald's.
Right.
You can't keep yourself. Okay. You can't just expect, oh, I'm good, people are just going to come to me.
Right.
Like, oh, I know everything that I'm doing.
Right.
You need to make sure that everyone's happy. You need to make sure that you're hitting your goals. Because, again, then you're better off working for someone else and having a lot less stress.
Right.
So,
right.
That's really my point to a lot of things. And I also like to tell people, value your kit. Figure out how much your car payment is. Figure out how much, in my case, makeup, brushes, mm-hmm. the chair, the light. My makeup and everything that I bring to a client's house on their wedding day is close to $10,000.
Wow.
So 1% of that, if I'm only using 1% on each client, that's $100.
Right.
So if I'm only charging you $100, I'm not making a dime.
Right.
So that's right. How a lot of people, you need to break that down in any industry that you're doing. Take your service, figure out what your products are, compile that, take the percentage that you're using, and really understand what you're making out of it. Because if you're not making anything, why are you doing it? I get it, it makes you happy, but you need to make a living as well.
Right, that's the part where, you know, there is an artist or there's an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Right. And in any business, not even if you're a makeup or a graphic artist or a painter, there's people who are passionate about something and they aren't a business-minded person. You know, and I know a lot of people like that. I know a lot of people who are like, you know, I have this thing, you know, this invention, or I have this like art that I'm an actual artist. You know, like I love what I do and I'm obsessed with it, but I can't make money.
I think most people are one or the other.
Yeah, there's none. It is, and so like the fact that you're identifying that, that's awesome because clearly you have both qualities, right? It's like you have the one or the other, and that's such a great point. So you teach that at your classes and stuff too?
Oh yeah,
that's awesome.
Because a lot
that's
of awesome. People just. That's the lot. They could be in the industry for 10 years and they're like, why am I not making money? Why do I not have a following? Well, figure it out. What do you want to make?
Right.
You tell me.
Right.
And write it down.
Right.
Divide it. Figure out
right.
what you want. This
right.
is on you.
Right.
And that's, as your own boss, that's what a lot of people want.
Right.
They want no sky.
Right.
They want to hit no limit.
Right.
They want to keep building.
Right.
So you need to know your value. You can't just do it because someone thinks that you're worth less. Listen, you can be a coach or you can be a Chanel. I choose to be a Chanel.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, honestly, they want to pay that
right.
because they know they're getting the best quality.
Right.
Not that coach isn't good quality. But people who walk around with Chanels, normally their friends are like, we gotta get a Chanel.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going, oh, I gotta go grab a coach bag.
Right.
You know? So
it's like 19
yourself,
ideas.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Put yourself where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Value yourself. If you value yourself at $25 a person that you're working with or $25 an hour, whatever your job is, you're not going to be that $200 an hour person or that $1,000
right.
an hour person.
Right.
You're always going to be that $25 an hour person because the next person that you do, oh, but why did you give Jane it for $25? Why am I paying 10 times that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't build yourself up.
Right.
Another thing that I do yearly, I raise my, every 6 months, I do raise my prices because I am going to classes, I'm educating myself, I'm furthering my kit, I'm building a brand, I bought a new truck so that I don't have mm-hmm. to worry about snow.
Right.
There's all these
factors.
You're
high in demand too.
Yeah.
You have to pay for a premium. Like, you know, when a product, a person, or service is high in demand, the cost has to go up because you're limited.
Mm-hmm.
There's not like 10 Laurens, there's one Lauren.
Right.
You have a team.
I actually haven't even had a birthday until I met Sal, and then I just started blocking it off because he's like, block yourself off, because people would ask me, I worked Easter the year last
mm-hmm.
year. I worked my birthday for the past 10 years. I
right.
don't say no to clients.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I was always a yes man. I worked for free for so many events. I did the Yeezus tour. I worked so many awesome fashion weeks, men's fashion week. So many things that you do for free, but you're killing yourself.
Right.
But things pay off.
But that's
you
what builds it up, though.
You have to do
most
it.
Most people won't do that.
No.
Yeah.
That's where they set themselves up for failure.
Most people don't recognize an opportunity unless there's a paycheck attached to
they
it.
They overvalue themselves. And from the beginning, like the perfect example, I had this one kid, you know, he came in here, and this is going back a while ago, but I was looking for a video freelancer, and I asked him, I was like, you know, we have a shoot with this, we have that, I was like, show me what you can do first, you know, and he was like, oh no, you know, and I told him, I was like, listen, I was like, I'll give you the ability to, you know, be a part of this team, I was like, but just show me what you can do first, and, you know, and he, you know, was like, no, well, you know, I have to be paid. And, you know, and the kid, you know, never wound up working for the company or anything else. Like, we never wound up hiring or anything. But, like, when I checked back in, like, the other day, I looked back in, it was, like, over, like, 4 years ago, this kid came up to me, approached me, and he's not doing it anymore. He's doing something else. And it's, like, those people, they overvalue the fuck out of themselves, and they don't realize that opportunity doesn't pay you in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, it comes in a
you gotta hustle.
You gotta hustle your face
mm-hmm.
off, you know?
You have to hustle. You have to work for free. You have to, even people are like, well, I'm not getting what I expect out of it. Well, what are you putting into it?
Right.
Well, are you posting?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any editorial work? Do you have any fashion work? Do you have film? Do you have beauty? You need a range of everything in any aspect. You need to know every part of your industry.
Right.
When I started, I was reaching out to photographers, hey, let's collaborate, let's barter, I'll do the makeup, you do the photos, and let's grab a model,
right.
and we'll all just get what we need out of
right.
it. You need to do that. You can't just sit home and be like, poor me, why am I not getting anywhere?
Right.
You need to put yourself out there. I swear there were days where one morning, I used to work for a school in Hoboken, I used to teach, And they called me. I was all the way in Long Island. I was about to do a ride that next morning. I just got there. I get a call at 10 o'clock at night. And they're like, hey, can you go do makeup for... Oh my God, I believe it was like Fox News or something like that. It was the backup dancers for P. Diddy or something. They need to be ready by 4. They need to start makeup at 2 a.m. I'm like, well, I'm in Long Island. That's in Brooklyn. I have my bride at 7 a.m. If I sleep right now, I'll get 2 hours in, and then I'll drive 2 hours to Brooklyn, then I'll drive 2 hours back to Long Island, I'll do my bride, and then I'll be done by 6 p.m. So my day started at 12 a.m. Yes. So you have to do these things.
Right.
You have to hustle. And you just have to kind of put your feelings aside and just have a lot of coffee.
Fire! Oh, my God. That's so fire. There's so much. Listen, hold on. So I really, anybody who's listening, and I have a feeling there's going to be a lot, you're going to get a lot of people that are going to, like, you know, want to start listening to you, follow you, get mentored by you. Because at the end of the day, you're actually a virtual mentor with the stuff that you're doing to people you've never even met. But I don't want to undervalue the things that you're saying, because the shit you're saying, like, is, like, mind-blowing, right? Like, you have a great mindset. You really do, especially for business. Like, where did you get this mindset from?
Me. Not this energy before I met her. That's why I fell in love with her.
Absolutely.
He does.
But where was his mindset originated?
Family. My dad, always growing up, was always working like 1 to 2 jobs. We had a wine school growing up. He worked as a mechanic. He literally, from when
you
I
had a wine
like,
school?
Yeah. That's why I'm like so obsessed with wine.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's why so we're cool. Getting married in a vineyard. Yeah. So, yeah, we love
wine.
Wine
so much
there. Love wine. But,
yeah.
So I grew up making wine, and I also grew up in Patterson. My dad had a shop, an auto body, and I would go in, and ever since I was really young, I can take a car apart and put it back together, and that's something that a lot of people don't know about me, but I'm just really good with my hands. And my father just instilled in a young age, like, you have to do this for yourself.
Mm.
Like, even in high school, I wasn't, don't get me wrong, my parents got me my car.
Right.
But I wasn't given anything else. There wasn't that, here's $100 for the week, or let me pay your gas, or they've always been there to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't just given me things, which is the most
important
thing.
That's critical.
I think, yeah. I think that I was brought up extremely well, and I think they really did instill, my mother is like the kindest person that you'll ever meet in your whole life. You'll just kind of want to shake her because she's so sweet. And then my father is just such a hard worker, and my mom's taught her whole life in Patterson Public Schools, and now she actually retired, and as soon as she retired, she had 2 Catholic schools, like, trying to get her to work there right away, and of course she is. So I come from a family that is constantly working, and you need to put in the work to make what you want.
You and I all the time talk about, and when I say you and I, I'm talking to Sal, we've had conversations in the past about, like, children and, like, how do we manifest to have the mindset that we have, right? And we're talking about, like, you know, not having a certain type of lifestyle so your kids don't see it, so they don't feel spoiled, right? And stuff like that. But, you know, my point in bringing that up is because, like, you know, your parents raised you right, you know? And, like, you have a multi-million-dollar mindset, right? From the first few words you said about never give up, then down to, like, you have to do shit for free. You're running around 2 a.m., 4 a.m., doing shoots and shit like that. Like, the secret to everybody's question, when I'm sure they ask you, like, how do I do this? How do I make money? How do I start a business? It's, like, that right there.
Mm-hmm.
You never give up. You kept going. You know, you're hustling your friggin' ass off to this day still. You're booked out 2 years, and then you have a team also, which, Sal, thank you for clarifying that, so we can keep production going. But, like, you know, it's very, very inspiring, you know, to people out there. And, like, if you could go back and talk to yourself at a lower point in your life, at some point you've had maybe when you were younger, right, what would you tell yourself if you now could go back in time and say something to that little girl, younger girl, whatever it was?
Just don't give up. Keep going. Mm. That's really... Don't listen to anyone who's telling you you can't or that you won't be where you want to be. Listen, again, I was so bullied, super bullied, and I totally relate to those kids in high school who, like, just don't fit in, and I mean, people look at me now and they're like, how could that even be possible? But, like,
right.
I was not the cool kid. I was not the cool kid at all. I was in the special ed classes coming to school on the little bus. Mm. And that's fine.
I was classified, too.
So it actually, I think that I'm able to relate to that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what made me know I'm going to prove it to other people. And I think that I would just tell myself, you got it.
Right.
Like, keep going.
Right.
That's it.
And I love that. That's awesome. And
that's my fiance.
Yay!
learn from everything that gets put in your life. I really strongly believe people in my past have been put there not to just, like, put you through hell, but they... People, everyone that comes into your life serves a purpose,
mm-hmm.
no matter what.
Right.
Whether it be the littlest thing to the biggest thing. I've been put in touch with certain people through other people that... I might say, oh my God, I hate that person so much. But you know what? I might have met someone through them.
Right.
Or I might have a client now through
mm-hmm.
them. Or anything like that.
Right.
And you just need to understand, like, okay, this time right now where it's so crappy and I hate everything and I just don't want to do this anymore and I want to give up and I want to move to Portugal or Japan or anywhere and just get away from everything.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to kind of, like, take that and be like, this, it goes full circle.
Right.
You go from a low point and you come up to a high. And you just need to understand that's how life kind of works. You're always going to hit those lows, but you're always going to get back to that really high point. So you just keep going.
Yeah, it's and it's trusting, you know, trusting yourself, trusting your journey. And your, you know, your weaknesses always, if you don't give up, become your strengths. And that's the biggest thing. I actually have, during our leadership retreat, I always start every year with reflection and looking back at when I started the business, and I have videos that I've uncovered from like over 8 years ago of me, like in front of a camera, like a little freaking no idea what I'm talking about, and I'm stuttering and I'm shit in the bed and I'm getting frustrated. I'm like, I don't know how actors do this, and like, but like things like that, like when you look back, it really keeps you going and it really keeps you humble. And when I look at myself in that moment, I'm like, damn, like I had hoop dreams then. That's before any of this shit was possible. And it's like, the one thing that you said before that I really fuck with was you said, what do you want, right? And not enough people understand the power of your thoughts in your brain. And me being somebody who had extreme anxiety disorder my entire life up until like 4 or 5 years ago, nobody knew I had it, right? Nobody knew that an issue. Jacqueline never knew. My family, only my mom, my grandma knew. But I didn't talk about it. And the biggest thing was I realized how powerful my mind was when it was working against me. When I was like, damn, like feeling anxious or having anxiety attacks or panic attacks and shit like that. And, you know, in my mind, I was like, damn, I can't control this, But finally, because I'm a holistic dude, I don't like to take medicine. I'm like, if I have a headache, I ain't going to take shit. So I wasn't going to take anxiety medicine or things like that. So, but finally, when I had a fuck this moment, you know, I sat down with what I want to call an anxiety coach. And he literally fueled my mind with exactly kind of what you said, but in a different segment where he was like, well, you know, what do you want? And I was like, well, I don't want to feel this feeling of anxiousness and anxiety and blah, blah, blah. He's like, okay. He's like, well, you trained yourself. There was a point in your life where you had a moment and it was a traumatizing moment and your brain kept and locked onto that. And your brain is made for survival. We're only here originally as humans to help and to hunt and to eat and to like live and to help each other. And it changed to all this cool shit now. But we've gotten off that path of understanding that our brain was meant just for survival mode. So when you have a bad moment like anxiety or you have a bad moment like depression, whatever, you know, most of the people in the world face, you know, your brain is like, I don't want to go back there. Mm-hmm. So its job is to protect you from that. And it's subconscious, so it's not your actual thoughts. Like, you can't affect it unless you disrupt the pattern. So once I realized, like, holy shit, you are what your patterns become like, and when you fuel your mind with what you want, you get there. And so when I had this moment with this guy and this anxiety coach that I had, it really blew my fucking mind, because there's people every day that take medication for anxiety, and I don't look at those people as negative or less than anything like that, but I was able to change, you know, the perception that I have and the patterns of my mind by just, what do I want, right? And so by you saying that to these girls in these classes, like, well, what do you want? And you having that own thing in your mind of like, well, what do I want? And getting it, going after it, you know, and that's just so powerful, you know? And like too many things, like you, in the beginning, you were saying something, you're like, well, I know it sounds cliche, but the cliche things in life are what are actually the fucking things that like are under a blanket that people don't think are important, but they are. And so, you know, first off, thank you so much for offering this value? Because half the shit you said, we've had big entrepreneurs on here, and they don't dive that deep into certain things. Like, that was really, really cool. This one guy, Sal Venture, didn't hit any of this shit. And anybody that's listening in, like, I encourage you, because a lot of times when we get feedback, like, we have people who will, you know, email us and, you know, say, like, that was awesome, this is great, but they'll listen to it in the gym or when they're at work. But one thing that I really want people to do is rewind this when you're home or when you have the ability to write stuff down. Because there was a lot of value added here today. And you crushed it, Lauren. We really, really appreciate it. But
can I say one thing?
Please do. Yeah, please do.
Just for everyone that is listening and listened from the beginning, one thing I will say, in Lauren's credit, is that she's not, and I try to change this all the time, but she's not a person that reads a whole lot of books or is into the, you know, self-help things or watching videos. And so my point is, everything that she just said is truly genuine from her heart. It's not something that she heard from a Gary Vee video. Because you know what? There's a lot of entrepreneurs out here that just re-spit things that they've heard or read and things. And this is literally genuine. She that's her. You know what I mean? That she's not pulling this from anything she's heard or read or watched.
Right.
This is her. And that's pretty amazing.
Her family. No, that is. And that's a great insight, dude.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And I love how you really value knowledge and learning on your own more so than, like, material things. Because a lot of people will see all the money that comes out of cosmetology or the people that you get to work with. But you value what you do and what you give to people through the art that you create through cosmetology. And that's seriously incredible because no one else is that connected to the people that they're working with, as I feel like you are. I mean, it's genuinely inspirational.
Thank you.
Seriously.
It's such, like, a huge, like, emotional investment. And I think another thing that I just want to leave you guys with is just don't say no. Especially when you're starting, don't say no, because you don't know where these opportunities will take you. If I said no to half the things that were presented to me that were either pro bono or anything, even, like, low pay, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Because you need to say yes, and you need to give up things that make you happy, and you need to give up your weekends or your nights or your sleep just to get where you want to be eventually. Let that anxiety drive you. I think so many people suffer with anxiety, and I think that just taking it and manipulating it into the drive that you need is super important.
Instead of letting it be a force of negative.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, too many people do that. Mm-hmm. And I was somebody who when I looked at that, I never claimed or felt like I was ever depressed from it. Most people get depression from it. I never had depression from it. At least I didn't think I did. And it was just a matter of just really locking down again, back to what you said. It's like, well, this is either going to, you know, I'm going to sit here and say poor me for the rest of my life, or I'm going to fucking change this and make this way better. And I want you to ask number 8.
Yeah, absolutely. And I genuinely love how focused you are on your future. I mean, we already know that you know what you're doing for the next 2 years. So
2 years set.
Clearly, we already know what your plan is. So what would you say in, like, 10 years? Like, what's your vision of where you want to be?
So, clearly we...
Pomeranians?
Definitely Pomeranians.
Little sound.
Lots of dogs. No, definitely a family. Definitely just to grow. Maybe not work as much hours. And just really build my team and build almost more of a brand for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you need, I'm in that mindset of work harder, not, or work smarter, not harder.
Yes.
And I know, again, cliche, but very true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really where just kind of keeping my goals in mind and keeping family in mind. And even, I mean, so much that I keep my clients in mind. My wedding was planned around my clients. I didn't cancel on any of them.
Right.
Keeping everyone happy is, like, my main thing, and just really furthering the career and furthering our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, and I absolutely love how focused you are and working hard now so that it will set you up for success in the future. A lot of people have that vision of what they want their future to be, but not how they're going to get there, and I love how you're really going through the grit and all the tough stuff right now, because in 10 years you'll be able to look back and be like, wow, I remember that time.
Enjoy the
favorite quote, right?
Yes.
Live a few years like no one will, so that you can live the rest of your life like no one can.
Yep. That's I heavily fuck with that. And that's what I was going to ask you. So, what is your life quote? And you can't say live, laugh, love.
That's a tough one.
I don't know. That's a great question.
I feel like you're going to spit some, like, organic fire right now. She's going to be like, I don't know.
That's a tough question to get hit with on the spot.
It is, but that's what we do here. And the reason why I do is, like, so when you're thinking about it, again, like, me, I, luckily enough, somebody asked me on the street, I have it in my mind already, because, like, when I was younger, I found that quote, live a few years of your life like most people won't. Mm-hmm. So you live the rest of your life like most people can't. You know, I've carried that around because in any circumstance, whether it's, like, whether it's health, like, you know, I want to do it in the beginning when you're at the gym or eating healthy. It's always shitty in the beginning, right? But if you're gonna put the work in the beginning and suffer, you'll get to where you need to be if you keep going. And so I apply that to everything in life. So you don't have to have some crazy ass thing you're gonna drop, but I always like to ask every guest that we have, just like, what is it?
Just be a good person and hustle.
Mm-hmm.
That's really
and never give up, right? Because you've been on that.
Never give up.
I think that's your main one.
Yeah, strive for happiness. Make your goal, set your goals, and achieve them.
Right. And I feel like I had a question earlier. Damn, there's so much fire that's being spit here today.
For real.
Fuck. You said something earlier. Oh man, it was regarding advice, but I can't think of what I was going to ask you now.
I just want to add in on the quote thing because
yes.
I love them.
Yes.
If I could write a quote book one day, I might. But to kind of touch on something that she had mentioned about, you know, never saying no and kind of just, you know, grabbing a friend, throwing a robe on them and doing their makeup for free just to hustle. And one of the quotes that I heard actually recently that has been like a game changer for me, and I was like, yes, this is it, you know. And they said, once you realize your day becomes your life, everything changes. Mm. Meaning what you do on a day-to-day basis will ultimately determine your life. And most people don't realize that, and they just think in the grand scheme of like, well, I'm not where I am today, and oh my God, it's going to be so hard. I can never get to where she is. How can I? Your day is your life.
Right.
Right. And so if you just take every single day and do as much as you can on a daily basis and change your daily habits, your life will eventually become that.
That's massive too.
Hold on, chill.
Hold on, Sal's ready for it.
Better call Sal,
y'all. And so on that point, though, that's awesome. And oh man, that's so huge because the way I like to think about that is like, obviously at some point we've all been on a boat here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of the ocean, like, you realize how, like, if you change that steering wheel like this, and you're supposed to be going straight, you'll end up at a completely different destination, like way farther than you think that only a little turn would make.
Exactly.
But that's life. That's
right.
That day-to-day change,
exactly.
Right? And that was powerful, man. And so, Lauren, thank you so much. The way that I look at it is, you know, life, like you just said, Sal, you know, day-by-day stuff, but, like, time is the only asset that we don't get back. So you being here today with us, the both of you, spitting just straight fire to this audience on, you know, a great mindset, you know, how to build your social media, what you do, some facts on stuff like that, telling your story, your journey on how, like, again, you being bullied and stuff like that. Anybody who sees you now is probably so intimidated, probably thinks, like, wow, I probably can't talk to that girl. She's probably not approachable. But you're the funniest person ever. So, like, that right there alone is just a huge inspiration. I know not just women, but men, anybody who's, you know, a business owner, or even just in their journey somewhere in life is going to see this and be like, wow, there's a lot to learn from what we're sharing in this podcast. So this has been fucking awesome. And real quick, if you can, just plug yourself again. Tell them where you're at, you know, social media, everything.
Social media, Lauren_D'Amelio, D-A-M-E-L-I-O.
Mm-hmm.
Any across the board, basically, is that's Lauren D'Amelio, anywhere that you can find it.
Right.
I barely use Facebook, I'm sorry. I will try harder. Also, one other thing, just the company you keep is super important.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, again, another cliche, if you hang around 5 millionaires, you'll be the 6th.
Right.
It's very important. Get those toxic people out of your life. Get away from the people that are telling you no. Really try to be as positive as possible because those people are only trying to drag you down. They're not really there for you.
They become a cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. And sexy website coming soon.
Yes. Website coming soon.
Yep. And
cosmetics.
Yeah. And so wait, actually, how does it, so when you become Lauren Venturi, What happens to your Instagram?
Boy, that's the biggest question. Oh, boy.
Right? Because then, because everybody knows you as that.
Yeah, I'll probably switch it.
Yeah.
And it'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll
we'll
be good.
It
you'll
out.
Be good. Are you still, going to do the underscore?
Underscore.
Lauren underscore Ventry? Are you going to eliminate the underscore?
Oh, I don't know. That's a
TBD. Ooh. This is some preview shit here, people.
Well, with the D'Amelio, it's still going to be D'Amelio Cosmetics. I got to leave my dad with something. He had no boys.
Yes.
So.
Of course.
I love that.
I love that. I love that. And Nick, obviously, thank you also for setting this all up.
Yeah,
you're
absolutely.
The man. And one thing I always end off with, you know, again, you kind of like emphasize this, Sal, but. Too many people live their lives on autopilot. So anybody listening in, you have to think about your day as not, like, again, I like to disrupt mine. So when you see somebody on the street, whether it's a friend, a family member, when you're leaving, whether you're sending an email, don't say have a good day, because that's autopilot. You know, everybody gets in their fucking box car, their box house, their box job, their box gym, and it's a repeat. But when you disrupt patterns, you know, and you say to somebody, create a great day, to me that means so much more than just, you know, oh, have a good day. Because then, again, that's the mindset of somebody who's just like, I'm in this fucking factory on a belt that's just moving. And you're in charge of it, right? So create a great day. And go follow Lauren. Go follow hashtag Better Call Sal as well.
Yes.
And thank you again so much, guys. We really appreciate
it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.